Previously with Martin Bester.
It is Professor Salim Abdul Karim. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Morning, Martin. How are you doing? My apologies for missing you earlier. My phone was off.
Oh, no. Well, listen, good to have you back. All the best for 2021. Just love and health to you and your family. Thanks for catching up with us. Prof, I'm going to get straight into it with the vaccine. Okay, there are so many questions, so many misperceptions about our vaccine. Just quickly, let's start I want to say a positive note, but even that word has new connotations. Let's start on a good note. When do you think the first vaccine in South Africa? Because obviously in the UK and America, we are seeing online in our timelines, people are already getting vaccines. When are we getting ours?
I need to ask the government
It sounds like you've dropped your phone somewhere. Professor?
Oh, sorry. Oh,
there you go. Okay. You're having phone problems this morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly now. So the question was, when do you think, realistically speaking, will be our first vaccination?
Oh, I was just saying to you that that's all dependent on procurement processes that I have no information on. When we look at the importance of vaccination, I think we are seeing now that there's a whole range of additional studies that are becoming available in the next few weeks. And so we'll probably see many new vaccines coming into focus. So at the moment, only three vaccines have published their data. And so it's quite a limited number of options in terms of available vaccines if we could just focus on three. So we'll have to wait to see what additional vaccines become available. But when South Africa gets a vaccine, you'll need to ask the government that.
Would it have been possible for us to have it already? Do you think there was a bit of a delay? Did someone make a mistake?
Again, I have no information on that. If you want to buy vaccines, you really have two choices. The one is to join the COVAX facility, which we did. And the second is to engage in bilaterals. As you know, the richer countries that could afford to pay deposits with multiple companies, because you don't know whether their vaccines are going to work or not. So, for example, Canada bought vaccines from pretty much multiple companies. So they have about five vaccines for every person in the country, because you don't know if the vaccine is going to work. So you can't just bank on that, but you have to pay your deposits. And, nobody allows you to walk into their shop and says, I'll take 10 million vaccines. I won't pay you a cent. And, if it works or it doesn't work, I'll decide if I really want to take it. Nobody allows that. So you've got to pay your deposit and you run the risks associated with that.
But in your opinion, could we have had it already? Is there something we could have done to have it already?
I don't know if we could have done better. You'll need to talk to the people who do the vaccine procurement for that answer.
I hear you. Okay, so you're talking about different vaccines. So are you saying that that we could possibly take more than one vaccine? Like you can take a couple, hoping that one of them works better than the other?
No. So when you take a vaccine, you have to choose which one you're taking in countries that have multiple vaccines that are available. And that's really only right now in about one or two countries. It is not a good idea to mix two vaccines. In fact, in the U.S., the FDA has specifically stipulated that you should not mix the vaccines. When you take
the right
one
choice.
Vaccine, you take that vaccine and you take the two doses of that vaccine.
Just quickly, in very short, what does a vaccine do for us? A lot of people have lots of misperceptions about what a vaccine is. Does it stop you from getting the coronavirus?
Right. So that's a very, very important question. So what a vaccine is doing, and this applies to any vaccine, it's coming into your body and mimicking the actual virus. So, when you get exposed to the real virus, your body responds, creates an immune response. In a vaccine, we're trying to copy that. We're trying to mimic that without giving you the actual virus. So what we do is we give you parts of the virus, or we give you something that makes parts of the virus. And so your body gets exposed to it. It establishes an immune response. So when the real virus comes along, you're all set. Your army knows how to deal with this. It's prepared. It's got all the equipment to deal with it. So that's the basic approach that's taken. Now, in these coronavirus vaccines, what we know is that they can be highly efficacious. If you look at the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine, highly, highly efficacious, 95%. That's about as good as we have for any vaccine. And what they do is they prevent clinical disease. So they prevent you from getting clinical coronavirus disease, and they decrease hospitalization. It is not yet known if they prevent you from getting infected in the first place, because they have not assessed that. One vaccine, AstraZeneca, did assess that, and the vaccine is much lower efficacy in preventing any infection. So in other words, if you're vaccinated, you'll still get the coronavirus infection, but it will be a very mild infection, or you may not even know it that you've had this infection.
And for some of these vaccines, it's 95% proven.
That's right. Yeah, to do that. So the vaccine that South Africa is procuring is called the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is 70% efficacious.
Why aren't we getting the one that's 95% effective?
Because the ones that are 95% effective require a level of cold chain that is not readily available in our country. For example, Pfizer requires a minus 70. So that's like Arctic temperatures that you have to keep this. And that's not really feasible in a country like ours. So there are certain vaccines that, you know, we just can't use right now for those reasons. There are also other kind of vaccines that are pretty effective. For example, the Chinese have Sinopharm, which has now produced results showing 80% and 86% efficacy. Pretty good. But we're still waiting to see their data. So once we get their data, we'll be able to assess whether it's a vaccine worth pursuing. And there's going to be several more. If you, you know, when you look at anything that you're dealing with, if you buy the first model, you have to understand that you're buying that first model. It'll be much more expensive and so on. As you wait, you will see many more come in. The competition comes in, other models come in, and the prices come down. And also they get better and better and better. So you're going to see that occurring over time.
But that places us in a very tough spot, though. So listening to you now, I'm thinking, do I take the first round of vaccines or wait for something better?
That's a good question. I think, you know, it depends on the kind of person you are. If you are the kind of person, you know, that's an early adopter, you like to be the first in the queue. You, when iPhone comes out, you stand in the queue in the morning to buy the first, you know, then, you know, you should take the best available that's available now. If you're the kind of person that likes to consider matters, look at the options, and then make a careful decision based on what is known about safety, efficacy, then you wait. It's individual choice. It's individuals who want to make their decisions based on what they think appropriate.
I have so many questions for you, and we only covered the first one. Would you mind that we call you back just after the news? We just need to do the news quickly. And
I can't,
then
I have another interview. My apologies.
Okay. So I'm gonna run a bit over with the news. I'm going to run through some of these questions just quickly with you.
Why don't you do me another day this week, Martin?
Okay, we will catch up with you again this week, but just quickly answer me just one or two more. A lot of people want to know, once you've had the coronavirus, so once you've tested positive, can you get it again?
That is a very good question. Now, as it stands, as we speak now, there have been several cases of individuals who've had the coronavirus and then they have got it again. It's been documented. We know that they've had two different viruses several months apart. And sometimes the second illness is more severe. Sometimes it's less severe. So that we know occurs. Based on a new study just coming out of the UK, where they looked at the second infections or reinfection with their new variant, they have shown that if you've had the coronavirus infection in the past, you have a very small probability of getting it again with the new variant. That probability, okay, the protection is 86%. So okay, 86% of those who've had this infection before, if they get exposed again, even to the new variant in the UK, they don't get infected.
And you would like to think it applies here?
We don't know. So that's a question they can answer in the UK, because they do, you know, they've done over 300,000 sequences. In our country, we've only done about 3,000 sequences. So we can't answer that question in the way they can. But we are doing that study, so we will get that answer. It'll just take us a lot longer. Yeah.
Is that why people do the antibody test? I mean, what is the use in that, knowing if you've had it, obviously for those reasons?
So knowing whether you have antibodies, in my view, is quite important. Because okay, if you have antibodies, then it tells you you have been exposed. And it also tells you you are less likely to get the disease again. But it doesn't mean that if you're positive for antibodies, you can now stop wearing masks, maybe, because you still carry a risk.
You can still carry it and you can still transmit it. Professor, exactly. We've run out of time for today, but I'm hoping that we can catch up with you, because I've got a million other questions that came in from our listeners
sure,
tomorrow or even Wednesday. Have a good day further. There are questions about ivermectin. There are questions about more questions about the vaccine, about the symptoms, about the severeness of the bronchitis. But we will cover that the moment we can speak to you again. Have a good day further. Thanks for taking my call.
Always a pleasure, Martin. Thanks. Thank you. Bye.
Wake up with Martin Bester on Breakfast. Every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m.